It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD 2 The Point and WFYI.org. The show is also available as a podcast, and as our coworker, I believe Melissa Davis, has informed us, the show is available on iTunes.
That is right.
The following Monday.
You're here.
I'm Matthew Soze, holding my pen like it's Johnny Carson, 1973. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoce, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Working the board, a gentleman who's pulling a double duty today. He was at Speaking of Women's Health, where he said nothing. And now he's here where he can say things, Mr. Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
And sitting in with us, well, let's turn down the music. We have to play the special intro music because he's here.
Arabia, he's an English guy. He came to fight the Turkish.
Okay, Clark, right there. That's what I'm talking about. Lawrence of Arabia doesn't have any lyrics to it. Doesn't have any words.
What do you mean doesn't have lyrics?
It's music.
To it?
It's music.
And I've seen the movie four times.
And there were no words to it.
What are you
there are no words to that. Did you hear what I was singing earlier?
Somewhere I know that somebody, I think, wrote lyrics to this song.
Welcome, Mike Perry.
Thank you, Matthew Soze. I, too, was at Speaking of Women's Health today, and I actually had to say stuff.
Actually,
Kobe did say stuff.
Did he?
Yes.
Was he respectful? You said things.
I said some things, yes.
Everything all right? Did it go okay?
Yeah, it went okay.
Okay. It's a busy weekend.
It's busy.
Here
yeah.
at WFYI because we had Speaking of Women's Health today. Penrod is tomorrow. That's my double duty day tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then Jazz Fest is starting up next week. So lots to do here in Indianapolis and lots to see. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit, especially a particularly special event happening in Greenfield tomorrow, which we'll get to. But first, there are some movies that are opening in theaters in Indianapolis and beyond. The new Resident Evil film is opening. It's in 3D. Okay, let's move on. I'm sorry, they didn't screen it for the press. And
That's never a good sign.
And you know what? 3D Mila Jovovich still does not a whole lot for
me. But you know, do you really have to review Resident Evil to get a feeling for what it's going to be?
Maybe, because, well, that's what we do here at Film Sociology. Remember,
I
see films,
Matt does that
so here. You don't have to. However, opening in theaters today, well, opening in Indianapolis today, is the Australian crime drama Animal Kingdom, and it's about a young lad whose mother is OD'd, and he moves in with his uncles, cousins, and his grandmother, who happen to have a nice little crime family syndicate going on, and things start to unravel.
This boy who's currently being looked after.
Anything you do say can be used as evidence in any later court appearances, you understand?
Yeah.
Tell me if you agree with this. This boy who's being looked after, he knows who you are. And you've done some bad things, sweetie.
Come outside!
Good night, King.
You really need somewhere, Mum. There's things going on.
What things?
Things.
It's the armed robbery squad, mate. They're not actually going to shoot you.
Can you hear that? Pull my finger.
Guys, you just missed him.
That's all right. Like you better.
What do you think we should do? Two police officers were shot dead. You tell me where you were last night?
You know the girl. What's her address?
Maybe you should start taking your pills again.
What's her address?
You know, if you ever want to talk about anything or anything, I'm there, right? Everything knows its place in the scheme of things. Things survive because they're strong.
We've got to do something about Jay. He's got to go.
You survive because you've been protected by the strong. But they're not strong anymore.
Oh my goodness.
I need to talk to you.
You've done some bad things, sweetie.
Oh yeah. Bad things have happened. Now, as I said before, some people have been comparing this to the Australian Goodfellas. Mm-hmm. The one familiar face you're going to see is Guy Pearce, who it's always good to see him. He plays a police officer who is starting to tug on one end of this 18-year-old kid. Meanwhile, his family is tugging on the other. And one of the things this film does really well is capture a family, especially a crime family, starting to crumble through its own paranoia, through just mental slips, and what they are, and how they just start to feed on each other. I think the title is kind of appropriate on that. James Frenchville, I hope I'm saying it right, plays the young man in question, does a good job. Everybody is talking about Jackie Weaver, who plays the grandmother. Yeah. And the best way to describe it, without getting too much, giving away too much, and I compare it, I haven't seen a matriarch this nasty possibly since the Manchurian Candidate, and without the incest, things. This is a woman who is at least half the size of all the men in her house, and she cooks, and she gives them kisses, and makes sure everybody's together, and it's all about family. But boy, as the film goes on, it just gets nastier and nastier, and it's really, really something, especially the last 20 minutes when it unfolds is really something to see.
I haven't seen it yet. I intend to see it this weekend.
You should.
From everything I've read, yeah, you don't want to make Mama spank. Mama's
no, it's it's just very cold and collective and really, really well done.
Most of the big talk is about her performance in this, so I'm really anxious to see.
Yeah, hopefully some folks will remember this. I know with the United States, we've been getting a lot of crime ensembles like Takers and Losers and what have you. So this is kind of a throwback maybe to the mob films of the early 90s, Goodfellas, Miller's Crossing, State of Grace, pictures like that. But no, don't miss this one. I don't know how long it's going to last in Indianapolis. It's at the Art Theater, so it's in one screen. But man, don't miss this. Go check this out.
Yes.
So there is that. All right. You know, I think that's it. No, seriously. No, now the show's not done.
Yeah.
I asked, it was during the break earlier, while the trailer was playing, I said to Kobe, how are we doing on time as far as the trailer? He goes, oh, it's 5 after. Okay, show's over. Let's move. We're done. No. We have.
Yeah, we are kind of light on new releases this week.
Yeah. We are. They've kind of. Yeah, it's not a whole hell of a lot for new movies. So I guess, Mike Perry, you've been here. Ah! Yes, because this week, Film Sociology continues its coverage. Week 2 of Why Machete is Awesome.
Machete is the best time you'll have at the movies this summer.
This
anyway.
Week.
Yes, this week.
This summer. It's September.
Well, I think that's saying something. The first 5 minutes of Machete is worth the price of admission. And unfortunately, you can't really describe a whole lot of it.
I will say, best use of a cell phone.
Yes.
Best use of this film does win the award for best use of a cell phone and best use of a man's intestines.
Oh, yeah. So. I mean, Danny Trejo, he's my hero, man. He gets to get cozy with Jessica Alba and
Michelle Rodriguez
and Lindsay Lohan. In this
well, it, which we had a debate about this on the show last week because you don't really her character's hair is in her face, so you can't.
I was thinking it could be a stunt body, but
it could be because not since I was let down with Vera Farmiga in Up in the Air, best use of a necktie. And then we found out it was a double. Anyway, but yes, we agree. You know, I guess 2010 Lindsay Lohan is better than nothing.
Yeah.
But But yeah, you know what? Yeah, you know what Chris Lloyd, who was here last week, he said, Danny Trejo's 66 damn years old.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
He's also short, too.
And I don't know what you're talking about.
He looks like someone just beat his face with a bag full of nickels, and he's getting woman after woman in this movie.
Well, you know, when Robert Rodriguez is directing it, you get to have Jessica Alba go after you and Michelle Rodriguez and Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah,
so.
Trejo's been in most of Rodriguez's movies.
Most of them, yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing him in From Dusk Till Dawn and Spy Kids movies.
Well, and the first thing I noticed him in was Desperado, and I'm sure if we, Mr. Slego, go on to, that's what he's here for, among other things, IMDb, and let's find that page. Because the first thing I remember that he was noted on was he was a boxing coach and an extra in Runaway Train, the Eric Roberts, John Voight film from 85. And I'm sure he's done other stuff since prior to that, but really, Desperado, because of the look, and he had the big cloak with all the knives, which he kind of wears here in Machete.
Yeah,
and a bizarre.
The knives are just bigger. In
yeah,
this
and a and the big WTF cast, than the Expendables.
Oh, this was just a fun movie. Just get back and let flow over you. Don't take it seriously at all, because they're not.
No, that's a big plus. When you got Steven Seagal in this film, he turned down The Expendables so he could be in this.
Yeah, I know we're not supposed to get too personal in this thing. I want to send big cool points out to my girlfriend because she wanted to see this because Steven Seagal was in it.
Okay. We be talking about personal. Look whose show this is. You know, yeah, I talk about my family all the time. It's all right. It's all right.
Okay. What are you?
Okay, Kobe. Are we at the start at the bottom of Mr. Trejo's IMDb list?
I got
what's it say?
1983, Jackie Chan's Project A.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Runaway Train.
We talked about
Penitentiary 3.
Oh my gosh. Oh. I remember that.
Classic.
Yeah.
The Hidden. Death Wish 4, The Crackdown.
Oh, wow. That actually, I think that is going to be on AMC this week. Because I thought 3 and 4 are supposed to happen.
So set your DVRs.
Yeah, sure, if you want. You can see Charles Bronson play his dad. No, who else? What else you got?
We got Bulletproof in 88.
Oh, the Gary Busey one, not the Adam Sandler action film. Go on.
Cage in 89, uncredited.
Well, that happens.
Shannon's Deal, 89. Lockup, 89.
Ah, the sly prison film. Right,
yeah,
right. That's right.
WB and the Blue Bean, 89.
Not sure about that. Okay. Go on.
What is this?
I don't know, but you... look, say it into the mic. When you
Drug Wars, The Camarena Story, 1990.
That doesn't surprise me. Okay, no.
Maniac Cop 2, 90.
Diner Maniac Cop. I forgot there was a Maniac Cop 2.
Marked for Death, 90. Guns,
Seagal.
90.
Guns, I think. I can't remember who's in that.
Wedlock, 91. Femme Fatale, 91.
Not the Rebecca Romijn noir with Brian De Palma directing.
If you've seen a B-action movie in the last 20 years, you've seen
him. So good for him. See, this is a kind of a character actor show as well, which we'll get to in a little bit. Is that it? Up until Desperado?
Oh, man. There's so much stuff.
There's a lot, see?
So Baywatch.
Oh, jeez.
Well, we won't hold that against him.
No. Well, hey, man's got to eat, so.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's fine, Kobe. Thank
Desperado,
you.
Desperado, 95.
And there we go. Yeah. Thank you for checking. But, yeah, the guy's working, so good for him. And the fact that he gets a starring picture and, you know, they don't give him too many challenging things to say.
I mean, the violence is deliciously over the top. You know, Tarantino would look at this and say, wow, that's violent.
Yes. Well, it is. I mean, come on. Robert Rodriguez did give us Desperado, El Mariachi, and From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
So he knows his way. And Planet Terror. So he knows his way a bit around action films. So, yeah, that definitely go see that. That's still out there. Oh, I guess I should mention Legendary, which is, as one reporter referred to it, a WWE-produced film that could be on Lifetime.
Ooh.
With the odd pairing of John Cena, Danny Glover, and Patricia Clarkson.
Oh, Patricia Clarkson.
I don't know. The check must have been good. I know. We love Patricia Clarkson.
We love Patricia Clarkson.
Mal's Last Dancer, the new Bruce Beresford film. Those are what's opening. But, yeah, and then Resident Evil Afterlife. Paul W.S. Anderson. Thanks a lot. All right, let's take a short break, and we'll talk about what is new on DVD. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open a video store!
And the video store is open, if you can find one. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. I'm your host, Matthew Socey. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey@wfyi.org. I'm also on Facebook. Kobe Slagle's working the board. Mike Perry, the director of on-air branding and special events, is sitting in with me today. Thank you so much.
And my film store is my computer, so.
Not yet. And by the way, in the update on what the hell is Matt doing with movies, as far as movie rentals, my wife and I got in the mail an offer for a free sample of Netflix.
Are you going to check it out?
I'll fill you in on that.
I have
later.
Friends who swear by it.
I know.
This is
a
changing day in your life, Matt.
Thank you. Are you one of the Netflix pod people?
No.
You don't need Netflix. You have me.
You see, yeah. Exactly.
Which we'll get to in a little bit. We have a kind of a sequel to the first edition of What Is Kobe Watching. We'll get to that in a little bit. But new on DVD this week and Blu-ray is the every now and then you will see an actor, a major star, who will do a small film for the glory and then do a big film for the money. And Michael Douglas is going to have a pretty busy fall. The sequel to Wall Street is going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks. But earlier this year, he appeared in the quirky comedy Solitary Man from the two men who directed Knock Around Guys. This is far better. This stars Michael Douglas as a disgraced car salesman, shut up, in New York City who takes a friend of his, he's divorced, business is bad, and he takes his lover's daughter for a college interview. And you can see some familiar faces, Jenna Fisher, Susan Sarandon, and, of course,
Mary
Louise Parker, steady, steady. Danny DeVito, yes, it's a mini Romancing the Stone reunion. And Jesse Eisenberg, among others. Here's some audio.
This is Ben Kalman. His life is defined by success. He has a beautiful family.
Yes, all right.
A thriving career.
Ben Kalman, Kalman Motors.
And he's a highly respected member of his community.
Hi, Edward, how are you?
Good, good.
But this isn't the story of his success. This is the story of what happened after.
Why is it still so good to see him?
Because you're not married to me anymore.
Hey, Grandpa, Dad!
Don't call me Dad. You don't call me Grandpa. She's checking me out. Hey, give me a hug. Maybe she'll think we're married.
Yuck, Dad.
You are dating a woman because of our connections. Do you even like this person?
Take my daughter on her college interview. She'll feel so much better with you there.
I'd feel a whole lot better if you would just turn and leave.
Mr. Kalman, you're 3 weeks late. I need a check.
You had to screw a friend of mine. Someone I see at school every day. You're priceless, Dad.
Hold on here.
Just try not to catch anything you might give to my mother later because I don't want to have to take care of her.
Allison has my highest recommendation.
Mr. Cheston will show you around.
Let me tell you something. Out there is nothing but possibilities.
What's wrong with them?
Nothing. They're probably just interested.
It's because you don't know how to talk to them.
How do you get any work done here with all these distractions?
I look and go right back to what I'm doing.
Uh-huh. Hey, want to drink?
Aren't you a little old for all this?
Yeah, that's cool. Your lowest moments, you're alone. I learned that when I was in jail.
You paid a fine and settled.
Well, I was in jail for a night, and before I made the deal, I used to think about it a lot.
Yeah. It's fantastic. You're out of your mind.
I didn't say anything. I love it.
Dude, I say a whole bunch of stuff. You know, some of it's even the truth.
You can't cheat death, no matter how many 19-year-olds you talk into your bed.
Touchdown!
Half hour more, you two, that's it.
But I want to see my grandpa. He said I can call him that in private.
Now, I know this is the second film involving Michael Douglas doing, you know, wacky stuff on campus. The first being a film I prefer. There's nothing wrong with this film, Wonder Boys, mm-hmm. one of his best. But so there is a little bit of similarity to that with a man who's kind of at a crossroads in his life, his career, everything.
Yeah, everything just seems to go down the toilet for him in relatively short fashion. But he kind of pretends like it doesn't.
Right. He's one of those guys.
Yeah. And his character in this movie is totally unlikable. But still, you still want to pull him out. It's kind of
the Michael Douglas charm. And
I think you want to pull it out at the end.
I think what's happened with Douglas at times, depending on how you feel about him, especially in the 90s, where he, you know, especially after winning the Oscar for Wall Street, you know, kind of played a lot of. He's played flawed guys before. Oh, yeah. Obviously, you know, the one year he did Fatal Attraction and Wall Street. And then since then has done, you know, just kind of smarmy guys making bad choices like Disclosure and films like that. And, Perfect Murder. And so with this one, yeah, it's – and by the way, I do like when he kind of pokes fun at his image of, you know, him hitting on college girls. Because as we all know, every year, Michael Douglas wins the Academy Award for Best Score. Always has. Always will. That's right. I know. That's why I'm here. But yeah, he does kind of poke fun of his kind of a slick guy image with, you know, running around campus and doing some shenanigans. But yeah, however, unlike the others where I think, yeah, he's played some pretty repulsive people. There's just a little bit of a twinkle and a little bit of the Douglas charm that we've liked since the early 70s.
He brings just enough charisma to it that you want him to
get it together. You have a rough life when you cheat on Susan Sarandon with Mary Louise Parker. Yes. We all should be in that situation. And then
cheats on Mary Louise Parker
with Jenna Fischer. Are you green with envy yet, Kobe? He's angry now. I've upset my producer. It's not fair. I know. But yeah, that's kind of how it is. And you know, everybody does a solid job. Everybody across the board. I mean, you know, like DeVito and Sarandon have two separate scenes together. But yeah, it's all Douglas, and it actually works.
Yeah.
So, overall, go rent this. You'll appreciate it.
Now that was a good movie.
Okay, Taylor from Indianapolis wrote to me on Facebook earlier. Is MacGruber as bad as it looks?
Every bit.
Wow. Let's play the audio.
2 days ago, a Russian convoy carrying the X-5 nuclear warhead got jacked. Yesterday, reliable sources informed us it's made its way to U.S. soil.
I'm going to turn Washington, D.C. into a pile of ash.
It's a very tall order. We need the best. Get me MacGruber.
I'm in.
What?
I'm in.
Hello, MacGruber.
I'm putting together a team. It's filled with American heroes with over 100 years of combined combat experience.
Lieutenant Piper will be your second in command on this. We believe the X-5 is now in the possession of this man.
He's untouchable.
Oh, I'll touch him, Rookie. I'll touch him wherever I want.
What is the plan?
Well, I don't use guns, so I'm going to use homemade explosives that I made with my own two...
Oh, no, this better not be some kind of joke!
Do not underestimate this man.
Where have you been?
I just took an upper decker in the master bathroom.
Upper decker?
Guess where you take a number two in the water tank and not in the bowl. You look great.
Get behind him!
How did you know I was wearing a bulletproof vest?
You're wearing a bulletproof vest? Awesome.
Tick, tick, tick,
tick. Have you ever been to D.C.?
No, sir, I haven't.
I was talking to the missile.
MacGruber.
Gotcha.
You're the one he wants to come after. Why can't you be dressed like you?
Because you are. Go, go, go!
Now remember, MacGruber, you gotta keep him on the line long enough to get a location.
Don't worry. I've done this before. Listen to me, you piece.
Hang up. Did you get it?
No.
Damn it, is that thing working?
right. We got a nuclear warhead.
Holy.
What's wrong, MacGruber?
You can defuse it, right?
Are you kidding me? Look at all this crap. It's like a million wires in here. More like a three-wire guy.
MacGruber.
Don't worry, we got your back.
We're only 7 blocks away, so if anything goes down...
7 blocks?
Okay, you got me. About 20 blocks.
Was anything closer?
Nope.
There were tons of spots close.
Yeah, with meters.
Well, Mike Perry, you already started. You didn't have fun with this picture?
You know, I go to a lot of movies, and sometimes I'll go to one just to see how bad it could possibly be.
Uh-huh.
This one just blew away all my expectations about bad.
Really?
Really. I mean,
Best use of celery, as Megan on Facebook writes to me.
Oh, my God.
Granted, there's probably more of Will Forte than one needs to see, even Mrs. Forte.
I mean, MacGruber as a character is hard to take in the 5 minutes you see him on Saturday Night Live.
I think those skits are shorter than five. They're more like one.
They seem like.
Okay. 20.
But I got to give Powers Booth and Val Kilmer props for being game enough
to do these. Yes,
and
yeah.
Do them with straight faces.
Well, that's their job.
But, my God.
Now you're not. Are you going to lump this into the other pantheon of Saturday Night Live sketch films?
I would rank this right down there with Night at the Roxbury.
Oh no!
I would rank this with the Coneheads did have its moments, but man,
you tell me when those moments happened. May I? All right, I'll balls in my court. Let me come to the defense of this picture slightly. Now, because the skits were 30 seconds to a minute.
Mm.
Honest, maybe there was okay. Maybe, I think I recall one with Betty White was 5 minutes because she needed the airtime. But I will say, if you think of this film not as an SNL skit, but as a parody of the very cocky action films of the 80s, if you think of Willis and Seagal, the guys who know everything and won't listen to anybody else,
right.
Or even the the Rutger Hauer. When James Remar got to do a film like Quiet Cool. So I think it's more like those films where the guy who's the one-man army, even though he's a complete louse and has sex with his dead wife's ghost, played by Maya Rudolph, ladies and gentlemen.
But I'm bummed.
So I thought of it more as a parody of that than trying to flesh out an SNL skit.
Okay. I can recognize it on that level.
Uh-huh.
But, man... Execution-wise, this was...
All right, let me ask
you... There were some places where I did chuckle, but there were so many more where I was just grimacing.
So it's like Shaq at the free throw line.
I'll
ask this, because I had this question with this debate with Machete and Chris Lloyd of the Film Yap, and I asked him mm-hmm. this question, I'll ask you. If this was a grindhouse length, if it was 70 minutes, would you think you've enjoyed it more? Because I have to admit, there are some jokes that they do kind of run into the ground. The tape, the disposable tape, uh-huh. detachable tape deck, and things of that nature.
Possibly. I mean, the movie did seem to drag out for me.
Okay.
But, yeah, if it were shorter, maybe, but, oh, man.
And I'd say for rental prices, and yes, because I'm trying not to rate films based on money, how much money you're willing to spend, but I think this would be more of a renter.
You might Redbox it.
But, yeah.
But, oh, no.
Wow, I'm surprised, because I'm one of the lone people on this one.
I'm not a big Kristen Wiig fan. I was feeling sorry for her.
Really? She's not in your league? I don't mean that's not bad.
Well, no, she's not the Emily Blunt or
Amy Adams
or Amy Adams level, but I don't dislike her, but
okay,
she's not my favorite.
All right,
but I was feeling bad for her for being in this movie.
Wow, all right,
I was feeling bad for just about everybody being in this movie.
Except for Powers Booth. And bully for him.
Yeah, they're showing guts.
Yeah, I mean Kilmer has done well. He's in the new Resident Evil movie, but mm-hmm. he's done some comedic stuff. I don't think I've ever seen Booth in a comedy.
Love Val in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. He was great.
Yeah, but I seriously don't. Yes, sir.
That's a good movie. I've seen that movie.
Thank you. That's good. Let's write that. We have to have a list of the films Kobe has seen.
Over the World Now and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
That's two, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? I think we'll have the Kobe Slagle Film Festival. All the films. It's not true. He's seen more than that. But anytime. I've always had a policy whenever I've done film radio, whether it's here or other places, that I want the producer to chime in, the engineer to chime in. And some have and some have not. And there have been a few times, especially when I throw stuff, you know, prior to 1970, that my beloved producer, you know, just doesn't know or didn't see. So when he chimes in, it is – I try not to over-celebrate, but –
Remember you guys clapped for me when I said I saw.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to have to do that.
That was a big moment.
I don't want to have to do that every time. I know what it's a very special film sociology. Kobe saw something, and this what of course spawned a segment which we'll get to in a little bit. So, all right. Well, wow. So notice this is the debate that you know fists do not fly and celery is not tossed.
And celery is not a suppository. I'm sorry, it's just not.
But it's not all that. So I'd say go in for spoof instead of SNL. So here's the thing.
Now that was a good movie.
I know, and we'll pick up your eyes. I heard them roll. Now, you didn't like that film. I'll tell you a film I didn't enjoy. That was Killers with Ashton Kutcher. I'm sorry, Demi Moore's husband, and Katherine Heigl.
Yeah, I avoided that one.
Well, I didn't. It's a married couple.
I don't like
couple.
Ashton Kutcher.
You don't like him?
No.
I don't get him. I don't.
He's in your
demographic.
I don't care.
That's all right.
He represents your generation, dude.
Yeah, you
That's
darn
bad.
Kids. Yeah, we're in trouble. No, but they play a couple, and everything is good and dandy until, word gets out that he's an assassin for the CIA.
Yeah, my wife and me on the second floor, and my daughter on the third, when I specifically booked adjacent rooms. It's a single woman, all alone.
Oh. Recently single, not always alone.
Bonjour.
I'm Spencer, by the way.
Jennifer, sometimes Jenny. No, it's Jen. It's just Jen.
You want to get a drink with me tonight?
Yeah.
Great.
I need to show you, niece.
You realize I'm going to make you tell me your whole life story.
Trust me. It's boring.
You're finally with someone who's genuinely attractive.
Did Daddy promise to be nice to him? Not in so many words.
How did I get so lucky?
Are we going to pretend to play basketball no matter what?
I got dinner with Jen.
Surprise! I'm back!
Psycho killer.
Who do you work for?
Let's just say that I work for the blah, 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 and they gave me a license to blah.
Your legs.
Oh, no, you are not getting off that.
Get up!
Stop it! He's not shooting in any... Oh, God!
It's going to be a long day.
Really good.
Bravo.
Katherine Heigl. Ashton Kutcher. Killers.
Sweetie, your gun is showing.
Well, where do you expect me to put it? Have you seen the size of this thing?
By the way, Kutcher produced this. He used some of his punk money to make this. And it's from the director who worked with Katherine Heigl in The Ugly Truth, another unpleasant film.
Tell me the truth. Did you feel punked after you watched it?
Very. See that what he did there? We need a rim shot for this. He also produced or directed, this director, 21, Monster Law, and The First Legally Blonde. Boy. So it's a comedy with Katherine Heigl, so I have to do my regular comment about Katherine Heigl. About 3 months from now, she's going to change her mind and say this was a bad experience for her. We were talking off air. Yes, Katherine Heigl is very pretty and cute as a button, but man, she makes some bad films. Is there an independent drama that she can star in? Is there a good girl that she could do like Jennifer Aniston did many years ago? Because it's just been one thing after another. Just post Knocked Up, it's just been, God, 27 Dresses and The Ugly Truth and just, ugh. Really? So we have a couple. Guess what? There's a lot of married couple bickering while they're being shot at and chased. And by the way, there's no plot twist. Everybody wants them. Guess it's one of these things. Yes, they make fun of suburbia and everybody, and it seems like the cast of The Daily Show and Mad TV are everybody's neighbor, suburban neighbors, and everything about it is just dull. The chase scenes are dull, shooting scenes are dull, them bickering are dull. And by the way, there's a big plot twist. If you don't see it coming, then you have issues. But when it comes to cinematic gene pools, Catherine Heigl's parents, Catherine O'Hara, and Tom Selleck. Fascinating.
You would think that'd be comedy gold.
No.
But no.
Not a whole lot for them to do. No.
Kathy, can I call you Kathy? talk to your agent, or better yet, fire your agent.
And do something else.
And do something else for a while. Do a nice drama. A drama, yeah.
And I know she's got some movie coming out where she's supposed to raise a kid, she doesn't want to, and she's raising it with a person she doesn't like. And you know how that's going to have work turn out.
It sounds pretty iffy on the surface. I have read good things about it.
Okay.
I might be talked into going to see it, but I'm really not looking forward to it.
Is this not another artificial intimidation movie?
No, it's not an artificial. Don't give her any ideas. No, I don't want her in an artificial insemination movie. We've talked about this. I'm done with artificial insemination movies for 2010. I'm done. Are you getting a text?
Yes, I am.
And what is it? Is it somebody for this show? Is it for this show?
No.
Why are you?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, we're going to open up the mailbag. Whoever's people's texts are.
I thought it might be Catherine Heigl.
You wish it was Catherine Heigl. Oh, my goodness. All right, we're going to take a short break, and then... Well, we got some more That Guy info to talk about, and I'll talk about a couple of other titles that are available on Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show, here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We're not alone.
We got guests.
You got what?
Guests. Guests.
Guests?
Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like, your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Also available as a podcast and available on iTunes on Monday. Every Monday. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Mike Perry, Colby Slagle hanging out with me today. Now, before we get to some of the news items, I have a couple of DVD Blu-ray releases that came out this week. See if these pique your interest or if you remember them. Apparently, there's a film called Being Michael Madsen. I'm assuming it's it's a spoof of Being John Malkovich.
Maybe.
I'd prefer it being Virginia Madsen.
Yes,
but yeah, we work on that. Yeah. Even though it's already out on DVD, but not on Blu-ray, and don't judge me, I own this, Bessel Whorehouse in Texas.
Okay.
The second Burt Reynolds musical. Not the first, the second. With Dolly Parton and an Oscar-nominated performance by Charles Durning.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Because he had back-to-back supporting actor nominations. That and... Give you a hint. Directed by Mel Brooks.
Back-to-back?
Yeah. 82 and 83. Don't ask me why I know this, but I do.
It's not Life Stinks.
No, that was... Life Stinks has the displeasure of opening the same day as Terminator 2.
You got me.
To be or not to be.
Really?
Yes. Check it out. Charles Durning, one of our favorite round that guys. Somewhere around that there.
Also featured in Oh Brother, We're Out There.
Among other things. That's right. You saw him. Yeah.
I didn't know I saw him.
Well, now you do. That's what the character actor thing is all about. Okay. That guy.
That guy.
Also on Blu-ray, The Black Dahlia. the flawed Brian De Palma. At least they made a vamp out of Hilary Swank, so that's quite all right. Camp Rock 2, great. Emma's going to bother me. You know she will.
I'm embarrassed I even know
that.
Who the Jonas Brothers are.
That's really okay. Also on Warner Blu-ray, Lost in Space.
Ooh, the movie or the series?
The movie. It's got to be the movie.
Okay.
Right. Yes, you'll get that?
Yeah, I'll at least look at it again to see if it was as bad as I remember.
Okay. Also on Blu-ray, Robert Altman's The Player. I would like to get that. And, Poltergeist.
The original?
The original.
Love it.
Yep. One of the great suburban moms of all time, JoBeth Williams. There's a scene involving her, some Craig T. Nelson, and something you use for medicinal purposes. It's quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
Also on Blu-ray, Scanner Darkly.
Oh, I love the Scanner Darkly.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I mean, yeah, it takes a little bit of getting used to with the rotoscoping, but once you do, I mean, it's a really nice
and
piece of work.
Also watch that for medicinal purposes.
Yeah.
And, wow. Okay, Stardust.
Love Stardust.
You love Stardust?
I really love Stardust.
We had Neil Gaiman on this very show. I thought the film was okay. Little too Robert De Niro and draggy for me.
Well, yeah, but that scene is what
bizarre.
You remember the movie for.
No, I remember it for the other obvious thing, because that was the summer that three of my favorite women in the world played witches. Michelle Pfeiffer in Stardust,
right.
Susan Sarandon in Enchanted,
okay.
and my wife in Beef and Board's production of The Wizard of Oz. It was quite a witchy summer at the Soci home, and you know it. Hey, it was...
Now, see, I wouldn't say that about your wife.
No,
hey.
Played witches,
oh,
not
okay.
being witches.
Sure.
She has got a wart. She turned me into a newt. Let's see, a couple other titles that are out on Blu-ray. This one I'd love to get, or if they could send it to me, THX 1138.
Oh,
back when George Lucas was good.
I've got the DVD. I don't have the Blu-ray.
And Ken Russell's Tommy the Movie.
Ooh.
I love it.
I'm not that crazy about musicals.
This isn't just me. It's a rock opera.
I know.
With Roger Daltrey and an Oscar-nominated performance for Anne Margaret for rolling around in baked beans and pudding. I'm not making this up. Jack Nicholson singing for the second time in his career. Eric Clapton, Tina Turner, Keith Moon. It's just a bizarre, bizarre film.
Isn't Elton John in that too?
Yes, he's the pinball wizard. Has to be a twist. And I don't know why I know why they're re-releasing it on DVD, the original Wall Street. So, take that. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I was very happy to see this, and I was actually glad to see this gentleman was on another TV channel this morning promoting this. And this is just, we talk about this is a that guy show, besides the fact that we are those guys, and a character actor show. We praised Danny Trejo earlier, but tomorrow evening, if you're not at Penrod, well, it's at 7:30, so you could do both, but at the Rick Center for the Arts in Greenfield, there is going to be a one-man show, and apparently a one-man show / Q&A session with actor-director, an evening with actor-director James Best. And now for those who don't know that guy, he is probably best known, and it's kind of unfair.
It is.
But he's always going to be known when he passes, and the dude's 85 years old. But he'll be known as Sheriff Roscoe P. Coltrane from the Dukes of Hazzard from the series.
Boys.
Yes. Yeah, he did that. However, we're going to do a Roscoe-free look at James Best's career because it's pretty damn impressive. This is a working actor, director, and a little writer. I know he directed one film, The Brain Machine, back in 1977. But he has been a working actor in one way, shape, or form for over 50 years. And that is something to be said in this business. So I remember hearing a story. Quentin Tarantino took acting lessons from Best. So we're going to go back a little bit, and of course with IMDb, I read everything in reverse order of time, chronological reverse order.
We'll tell you up front, 10 printed pages of credits.
600 TV credits. You know, a lot of bouncing back between TV and movies. So we're going to go back. One of the things that I also forgot, he always had a link with Burt Reynolds. He appeared in several of Reynolds' films.
Mm-hmm.
He was a sidekick in Hooper. And had small roles in The End. One I always forget I need to see, Because Quentin Tarantino cites this as one of his influences for Grindhouse. Do you remember Rolling Thunder?
I do.
William Devane, Tommy Lee Jones, and I forgot about this. The screenplay was done by Paul Schrader, who's one of my favorites, the guy who wrote Taxi Driver, Raging Bull. Directed by John Flynn, who gave us The Sergeant, bestseller, Lock Up, Out for Justice, another Seagal reference, and Brain Scan. Also appeared in Nickelodeon with Burt Reynolds, directed by Peter Bogdanovich. Remember Ode to Billy Joe?
I do.
Directed by? Do you remember who directed it?
No.
Max Baer Jr. That's Jethro Clampett from the Beverly Hillbillies for you, sir.
The TV series.
TV series, not the movie.
Let me tell you a little story about a man named Jed. That one? Yeah.
All right, we'll move on.
Okay. He's just got this glazed look over.
He's all right. You're doing great, Jim.
My grandma and grandpa used to watch Beverly Hills.
Help.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Something I always liked him in, he has a very small role, but he was a sheriff in Sounder.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, did every pretty much TV show. And what's really cool is there were a couple of films that were on TCM that I DVR'd, and he was in. And, this is before I knew about this appearance, but there was a 1968 Western, Fire Creek. And I think it was the first teaming of Jimmy Stewart, Henry Fonda, Gary Lockwood, and the visually stunning Inger Stevens. You will have to Google search her.
Inger Stevens.
She's a beautiful
I
woman.
I had a big crush on her. When
yeah,
I was
and too, died too soon.
Yes,
way too
did.
Soon.
Yes, she did.
First, The Fight with Chad Everett, Gene Hackman, Claude Akins, and Dean Jagger. Funny thing, and I don't know if this was a joke by Jerry Lewis, or if Jerry Lewis was just that dim. James Best also was in the 1966 comedy, which really wasn't that funny, Three on a Couch with Janet Leigh, and he had the credit introducing James Best, even though he'd been in movies and TV for over 16 years. What do you think, Kobe?
I'm a fan.
Okay, good.
I think if Don Johnson can get away with it in Machete, why not?
Yeah, well, that's true. He was also in the Jimmy Stewart film Shenandoah. The 1963 Sam Fuller classic Shock Corridor, which is the film about a journalist who goes undercover in an insane asylum and, guess what, starts to go crazy. Black Gold, not Texas Tea. My gosh, yeah, all these shows, Andy Griffith Show, The Rifleman, Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
He was in Seven Angry Men. He was in Forbidden Planet.
He was in Forbidden Planet, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
The Killer Shrews is probably the thing he's, if anything, for pulp cult movies.
Yeah.
The Killer Shrews, directed by Ray Kellogg, who had the other Mystery Science Theater classic, The Giant Gila Monster. And Ray Kellogg apparently also co-directed The Green Berets with John Wayne. Good luck with that.
The Shrews is one of the funniest MST3K episodes ever. So I think it's out on video.
I think I own it. Kobe, are you familiar with the Mr. Science Theater? Please
tell me. I know that that exists. But
okay, we're going to add that to your account.
Yep, okay.
But yeah, this is people that are isolated on a small island that are being attacked by giant shrews, when in fact they're dogs with shrew helmets, shrew mask. Because I don't know how you put a mask on a dog.
It's just delightfully cheesy.
And it's really bad. It's so fun. And Giant Gila Monster is also one of my favorite MSCs.
Look at some of these. He was in the Caine Mutiny. He was in The President's Lady.
The Kid. The Left-Handed Gun. He worked with Paul Newman twice. There was The Rack, which that was the other film. They had a Paul Newman day on TCM, and The Rack was one directed by Robert Wise, an Indiana connection. But it's the one where Paul Newman is a Korean war hero, but he's up on charges of treason because apparently he signed a surrender. He signed a confession. And he was, James Best had one scene. He was a witness in a court case. The Left-Handed Gun, which was the other Paul Newman film about Billy the Kid, directed by Arthur Penn. The Naked and the Dead, he was in the Raoul Walsh-directed film adaptation of the Norman Mailer novel with Aldo Ray, Cliff Robertson, Raymond Massey, didn't everybody kill the people on Columbo? Richard Jackal, L.Q. Jones, and Joey Bishop.
He was in just about every TV Western ever made.
Ma and Pa Kettle at the Fair, Winchester 73, the great dark Western starring Jimmy Stewart.
Of course, my beloved Honey West.
He was in Honey West. We told Kobe Slagle to look up Anne Francis a little bit later. If you want to do it now, that's fine. But a really a full career. You know, is he swimming in money? Is he doing coke off a woman's back? No. Well, as far as we know. No, we kid, Mr. Best. But the fact is, he's a working actor and director and instructor. And I love the fact that he taught acting classes. I had a friend who recently got married who took acting classes from Donna Pascal.
Wow.
See, that's the kind of thing. So salute to James Best. Salute to the fact that he is going to be having a one-man show tomorrow evening. Hancock Regional Hospital presents an evening with actor-director James Best at the Rick Center for the Arts in Greenfield. And he has a connection, grew up partially in Corydon, Indiana. So really, really cool. That's going to be a lot of fun. So if you go check that out if you get a chance. Now, ladies and gentlemen, last week we had an update on a segment, and it went over so well, we are going to have a sequel to the first segment installment of...
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe Watching?
Now, you hadn't heard that, have you? He worked really hard on that.
Oh.
Now, this segment, of course, started because, and you were, I think, a witness to this, I kind of went ballistic on Kobe when he had not heard the phrase spaghetti western, so... last week, of course, you talked about watching The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, the Sergio Leone masterpiece, a bit of a challenge.
A little bit, yeah.
I understand, but you went back to my box set,
yes.
And you watched what?
Fistful of Dollars.
The very first Sergio Leone film with Clint Eastwood, and how did that work for you,
that
sir?
That was much easier to get through. I liked that a whole lot. It was really,
you liked it better than The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, didn't you? It's okay.
You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and say yeah.
Okay.
I like it better than The Good, Bad, and
that's fine.
So your next homework assignment is a few dollars more.
And he also has Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yep.
So, but we'll move on for that. But no, it was a groundbreaking Western. We talked about at that time, when there were gunshots, the shooter and the shootee were not allowed in the same frame. And Leone film broke that. If you think about it, you think of all the James Best Westerns that were happening in the 50s and 60s, there'd be a shot of a guy firing a gun, and then they cut to a guy doing the, oh, you got me, and then he falls and dies for 10 minutes. So, and as I've informed Mr. Slagle a little bit later on, I don't know which one we're going to do next, but it's very possible, there's a possibility that a future What is Kobe Watching would be the films of Akira Kurosawa, since... there's an influence on those, since Fistful of Dollars is based on Yojimbo, the Seven Samurai later spawned the Magnificent Seven, and the Hidden Fortress is a huge influence on Star Wars. And then maybe we'll break down his Shakespearean ones. Ron, Throne of Blood. Ron is his King Lear, Throne of Blood is his Macbeth, and the Dead Sleep Well is his version of Hamlet. So we'll get to that in a little bit. So, Kobe, thank you for expanding your... film palette by watching another Sergio Leone
thank
Western.
Thank you for helping me. And I wanted to get this in also.
Yes.
We were talking last week about when you're going out with a girl, you got to let her choose the first movie.
You definitely must do that.
Okay. Yes. New developments.
Uh-oh.
We will not be watching the Wiseau masterpiece as the first thing that we see together. It will be...
Oh, good. Yes?
Dirty Dancing.
She picked that, didn't she?
She picked that, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Way to step up, dude.
Yeah, you got to take one. But a little inside information. Because of this, you get the next one.
Yeah?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Unless you want to be ultra generous without, and I wouldn't do too many of these, otherwise you're a doormat of letting her pick the second film. But it's now give and take. So,
okay.
Now, can we be there when you all watch The Room?
You got to go
there. I've got to watch The Room.
I know, we were working on that. We were working on our never-ending quest to inflict The Room and Tommy Wiseau on our coworkers and everybody else.
Yeah. We need to set up the community room one night and have a room.
There
screen.
It is. There it is.
There it is.
Second person said that.
Okay, it's official. It's been set on the air, so I guess it's going to happen. So thank you, Mike Perry, and thank you, Stacy, who brought it up first. So we'll get to that. We still have a couple of more minutes. Kobe wanted to remind me, and thank you for reminding me, sir. That's why you sit there. The WFYI auction is going on. Online auction is going on. And two of the items, I have to plug myself first. Two of the auction items are, one, an evening of live music with Blues House Party host, yours truly, Matthew Sosa. Thank you. That'll be a group outing. That'll be a lot of fun. But another auction item, if you go to WFYI.org and check out all the goodies that are available, you, yes, you, the film listener, film sociology watcher, listener. Boy, we don't have cameras yet.
You can't watch the radio.
You can't. You can. Yeah. It's just not very exciting.
Yeah, it's not going to do much.
But you could also be a guest on film sociology. So go to WFYI.org, see where you can bid, click bid, buy, and who knows, you might be sitting where Mike Perry is sitting. Well, no, you won't, because you'll be sitting two seats down, because I like to have Mike Perry near me whenever possible. Because he's reliable.
I love you too, man.
I love you too. I love you, man. He's my Jason Segel, and you're not my Rashida Jones. So we're gonna, that's my wife. Now, Mike Perry gave me some breaking news that he just came out a couple of hours ago. Apparently, Roger Ebert is producing and reviving At the Movies.
Yep.
And it's saying here, I'm reading from James Hibbard online. Roger Ebert presents At the Movies. The show will be hosted by Christy Lemire, and film critic for the Associated Press, Elvis Mitchell of NPR. And, of course, remember, this was canceled a while back. But At the Movies will bring back Ebert's copyrighted Thumbs Up and Thumbs Down rating device, and good move for him to copyright that, which means we never say it. Never, never, never. I don't want to give him any money. Love the guy, but I don't want to give him any money. But he is co-producing this along with his wife. It's going to debut in January. Ebert will employ a computer voice to appear on episodes under a segment titled Roger's Office. He says he won't debate with the two co-hosts. So probably maybe some essays, some columns that he already does on his website, which you can check out at the Chicago Sun-Times.
Going back to his roots, it's on the public station in Chicago, WTTW.
Yes, on PBS. So good for him. And obviously watching Sneak Previews, yes, I'm old enough to remember Sneak Previews,
yes,
in the late 70s, was a huge influence on me. So I'm glad to know he's taking it back. And no, we will not do Stephen Hawking jokes here. But no, bully for him. I mean, the guy can still write. The guy still has thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad he's able to get his show back, get his thumbs back, and be able to contribute to television. So very cool. Well, ladies and gentlemen, on that note, there's a lot going on. Penrod is tomorrow. Jazz Fest is next week. And, of course, we want to end the show with some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Mike Perry, Kobe Slagle, thank you for sitting in as usual, and I'm sure we'll have you in sooner than you think. I called him days ahead, not 4:30.
He did give me 24 hours notice.
Yes, so it's an official thing. It's not a save if you're using baseball terms. So until next time, go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. You're listening to WFYI HD2 The Point.